Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you here today. This is Jim Masters. Also a pleasure to welcome Dr. Elizabeth Cronin to our show. She understands how difficult life can be for women who do so much. She's a psychologist, and she's widely regarded for the work that she does, with extensive training in mindfulness meditation, and her work combines her knowledge and experience from both fields. She's passionate about helping women find the peace of mind they deserve. Dr. Cronin is part of the growing interest in using mindfulness and meditation as tools for managing stress and increasing well-being. She published a mindfulness journal for mental health in February of 2022, which offers a range of practices readers can try as they experiment with mindfulness. So many people deal with anxiety and yet don't access the benefits of mindfulness. And her book was an effort to make mindfulness less daunting. There continues to be confusion around what mindfulness and meditation really are and how to incorporate a regular practice into daily life. This is where Elizabeth comes in. She's committed to helping others learn about the experience of the wide-ranging benefits, which include positive changes in both physical and mental health. Elizabeth is also excited to offer a new group program that not only teaches women to meditate, but walks them through the process of establishing a regular practice. Her course provides the support and encouragement required for real results. She wholeheartedly encourages women to sign up for her program because it becomes extremely challenging to incorporate the techniques without professional guidance. Her unique work, not to be missed, and the 8-week program is offered via Zoom and is really designed to help participants learn, understand, and practice in a warm and caring environment. My pleasure to welcome from Norwood, Massachusetts, Dr. Elizabeth Cronin to Close Up Radio. Dr. Cronin, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
We're excited to have you here as well, and I'm fascinated by the work that you do. Tell us about what some of those inspirational moments on your life's journey have been that pointed you into the direction of doing this kind of healing work.
Well, that's a great question. The older I get, the clearer it is to me that I had this direction all along. You know, as a little girl, I liked to pretend that we were playing school, and I liked to be the teacher, and I also liked to make my own little books, and so I was definitely into writing, and I was always curious about why people felt the way they felt, why they acted the way they acted. It's just very observant and aware and very, very sensitive. So, you know, it wasn't clear to me. Felt like I had three kind of different interests, you know, and yet as my life evolved, I've now finally gotten to this sweet spot where I can do all of those things. I can teach, I can be curious and ask questions about why people act and feel the way they do, and I, you know, can do some writing. And so I think it all comes from, you know, this place of just being a very sensitive person and wanting to understand, but then also wanting to do something about what it was I was coming to understand.
That's important. You know, as things develop, you sort of learn along the way. Let's talk about the practice that you created as a result of all of this self-discovery.
Sure. So I didn't go directly into psychology. I spent a number of years doing, you know, public relations and things like that. But as I had a chance to go back to graduate school, right around the time I was having my first child, I really focused on psychology. So coming out of that, I knew that I wanted to try to work with individuals. Initially, I was really interested in working with children, and just over time developed, got my degrees, and then developed a clinical practice, which has been extremely rewarding. And again, as you know, as I get older, I start to think, how could I have an effect on more people? Because in terms of a clinical practice, I'm usually sitting with people either one-on-one or sitting with just a couple, and I can only get so much done in the course of the day. I can only be available for a certain number of people. And this is where I reconnected with my interest in teaching and started to get this additional training in mindfulness and meditation and try to weave together a program that really blends my clinical experience and knowledge from psychology, all the training that I've now had in mindfulness meditation, and puts it together in a way that people get sort of the therapeutic benefits of this new practice that's so well documented to bring so many benefits into your life.
That's incredible, incredible work. Let's talk about your book as well, Mindfulness Journal for Mental Health. What inspired you to write it?
So that's an interesting story, too. I actually was approached by Callisto Media to do that, and that's just a new publishing house where they actually are doing analytics about where the demand is. So they are very data-driven, and they determined that there was a need in the market that people were Googling or looking for a mindfulness journal to help them improve their mental health. So they reached out to me. They found me on social media, and we talked things through, and I did a writing sample for them. And I was checking to see if this is all legitimate. It always seems, you know, odd that someone would reach out to you. And it was, and it took about, you know, the whole process takes, I guess, just a little under a year. But it was a fascinating experience, and it was an opportunity for me to share what I've learned and what I've practiced personally about mindfulness, which is just many, many different ways that you can incorporate a mindfulness practice, which is different than a meditation practice, into your daily life. You know, it's even things like, I mean, the definition of mindfulness varies depending on who you talk to, but in general, it's the ability to be in the present moment without judging, you know, fully accepting and being where you are now. And the benefit of that is that if you're in the present moment, you're not in your head. And, you know, the human condition is that we spend so much time in our head thinking, you know, planning for the future or reflecting on the past that, you know, we can't go back and change it. So a lot of times that's not such a positive experience. So this idea that you could help people find their own way, and that's what I like about the journal. It's like a whole bunch of, it's like mindful eating. You can do mindful walking. You can mindfully wash the dishes. You can, you know, there's all kinds of ways of approaching it. And that was really my introduction to mindfulness. Back in 2005, I was training at McLean Hospital, and they were offering a group program in dialectical behavior therapy. And that was a really effective program for people with trauma because it had a big mindfulness component. And the staff there, every week at the, you know, weekly staff meetings, we would do a mindfulness practice every week, and, you know, different people would lead it. And that was my first exposure to incorporating a regular mindfulness practice into my life. And then in addition to those exercises, and some of them I actually, you know, have a version of that in the book that we had done as a staff. In addition to that, in every group that we met when we had these groups for women, the group usually would start by just going around the room and asking everybody, where are you and how are you feeling and what are you feeling in your body? And people would just say, like, check in with themselves and say, oh yeah, I feel tension, or I'm feeling tired, or I'm feeling confused, or I'm kind of bored right now. I don't know that I want to be here. And it was just, to me, it was this novel idea that you would just stop at any point in your day and just think, like, where am I? How am I doing? How am I feeling?
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely a product of this culture where it's like, get up and go, 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 you know, do more, 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 more. How much can you get done? You know? And so for me, it was just a lot of fun to be able to compile a bunch of exercises and put them out there for people to try. And then I love the journal format because it's like, try it and then reflect, because there's no one approach that works for anybody, you know?
Right. It's not cookie cutter. It's not one size fits all. It's customed for each person, which I think is important. Why is it, you know, working with women particularly near and dear to you as well, Doctor?
Well, I think that, again, you know, just identifying as a female and being raised in the United States, there's just unique pressures on women to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to be responsible for and nurture and care for others. And to be fair, I don't think it's a good deal for men either. I mean, they're conditioned in other ways. They're conditioned to, I mean, my heart goes out to boys who have to go out on the football field and just go kill them. You know what I mean? It's just different. There's a different set of pressures on both genders. But, you know, as a female, I'm able to use my own experience and my own struggles to help other women. Because, again, I was particularly sensitive child, and I was sensitive to the cultural pressures of, you know, looking a certain way, being thin, and had my own experience at, you know, 14, 15, 16 with anorexia. And so I think anytime you go through and you really reflect on it and come to understand and learn from a challenging experience, you know, I think it's natural to want to use that and in a way that helps other people. So in particular, that's how I kind of grew to really care deeply about women's issues. Not that I only work with women, because I always think about that. I have several men that I work with and individually in therapy, and I enjoy working with them just as much. In terms of my group program, at this point, though, that's sort of a new focus for me.
That's fantastic. That is sensational and, you know, very hopeful and empowering. Why do women feel they must always be the caretakers and oftentimes choose not to really engage in self-care?
Well, I think for women, I mean, some of this just goes back to anatomical differences. I mean, women end up, you know, carrying children for 9 or 10 months before they deliver. So we, even before a child comes into the world, we know what it's like to feel responsible. You know, we know what it's like to have to monitor everything that goes into your body because of the potential, you know, effect on, you know, the baby before the baby's even here. So you combine that with, again, cultural differences in terms of, even if you look at, like, the stories that we read, the fairy tales that girls are exposed to, and just the messages that come our way are, you know, you need to be quiet, you need to be pleasant, you need to be nice, you need to think about other people. You know, girls are encouraged to play with dolls. So it starts to feel, you start to feel like you're bucking the system, or you're somehow, there's something wrong with you, say if you want to be a tomboy, or if you're, you know, struggle to fit into that paradigm. And again, I just want to say, in fairness, I don't think it's an ideal situation for boys either. But I think, you know, each gender has its own stressors. And for women, this need to take care of others somehow becomes like that's the priority. And then there isn't always time left to take care of yourself. And even for women who do take care of themselves, they often struggle with feeling like it's somehow selfish or, you know, somehow it's like taking care of herself doesn't matter as much as taking care of others. And that's a mindset that the people can work on, you know, they can grapple with that and they can try. And I've found that, you know, meditation for me has been a really useful practice to help me sit with that, both reflect on it, but also get beyond it, you know, and have a different type of experience of my own internal worthiness.
Why is it critical for those who are struggling with stress and anxiety and sort of feeling stuck in our lives to reach out for professional help as opposed to try to deal with it alone ourselves?
Well, I think that it's really, well, I'm grateful for the abundance of resources that are out there now. And I don't think everybody needs to go and have therapy. I mean, I think everybody would benefit from therapy, but I don't think it's required. And certainly doing your own work or reading or even finding, you know, a regular yoga class to go to, all of that is really beneficial. And if you really struggle with anxiety, it's important to get some professional help because it's such a leading cause of health issues, both mental health issues and physical health issues. And so to have to live day in and day out, which I have lived with anxiety myself, and even with all my education and training experience, I still have times when I'm really struggling with anxiety. And if I hadn't gotten the professional help I've received to learn how to manage it, then it just continues to take a toll on us. And it can be slow and outside our awareness, but I can just use myself as an example. I have a lot of digestive issues that are just the result of this long history I've had with dealing with anxiety on and off, on and off. And so the upside too is that, you know, you can get treatment and you can, if not reverse conditions, you can certainly put a halt to the potential damage. And, you know, I forget what the statistics are, but I know that there's a high percentage of even visits to the primary care physician have some sort of root in mental health or some relation to stress and anxiety. So it's really important because taking care of your mental health is just as important as taking care of your physical health. In a way, it's like saying, if you were having a physical ailment, isn't it important to go get professional help? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is.
Yeah. On many different levels too. That's why it's really important. In your expert opinion, why do you think sometimes we try to numb our pain through maladaptive habits?
Yes. Don't we know that? I mean, that's the truth. I mean, whether it's shopping or eating or even sometimes, you know, even a productive thing like exercise can become maladaptive. I mean, during my eating disorder, there were times when I over-exercised, and so that wasn't, you know, helpful to me at all. And the reason why we do that is, again, so much of this is because of the culture that we live in and the messages we get. So we are constantly exposed to this idea that there's some quick and easy solution to get rid of problems. And we also live by this sense of, like, if you work really hard and you're really smart and you get enough information, there's a way you can avoid pain. And so when you live with this with these beliefs, then when you encounter pain, it feels like it should not be there. So if you actually think there's a way to get through life and just be happy and have everything fall into place, then the experience of something really difficult feels like a problem that you have to get rid of. And when you've got a problem you have to get rid of, you might try different things, and when that doesn't work, you just really want to get away from it. And that is our inclination, to just want to, like, not feel it, not deal with it, not own it. So we do all kinds of things to numb ourselves. And it's also part of how our body keeps us safe, is our body, when we detect something foreign, unfamiliar, or uncomfortable, we tend to, like, constrict and, like, protect ourselves. You know, you get ready to defend yourself. And that's kind of how we handle emotional challenges as well. And I can remember years ago reading Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. And it's an old book at this point. But the first page, it says, life is difficult, period. Once you accept that life is difficult, it is a lot less difficult. And that goes with the meditation theme too, because when you meditate, you're really basically just practicing that, let whatever shows up be there. You know, just let it be there. And that's sort of the idea of being mindful too. It's like, in any given moment, can you just be with whatever is in this moment? And that is the antidote to our sort of knee-jerk or conditioned or our reactive need to, like, I had a hard day, I need to have a glass of wine, or, you know, this week was awful, so I'm going to binge watch a series of TV shows. It's really about distress tolerance. And again, meditation is a great way to build the capacity to be uncomfortable without having to immediately jump online and start shopping, or immediately yell at somebody, or numb yourself in any different types of ways.
So what exactly, from your perspective, is meditation?
I was thinking about that today in the shower, you know, we always have our great thoughts. And I was thinking that, and I haven't thought this through fully, but in some ways I think mindfulness is kind of like fitness, and meditation is kind of like exercise. And I mean, like I said, I might have to take this back at some point. It might not make full sense, but I think meditation is like exercise, in that there's a lot of different ways you can meditate. You know, you can use mantras, you can do walking meditation, you can do lying down meditation, you can meditate and reflect on things, or you can meditate and just focus on your breathing. So it's kind of like exercise. You can exercise in many different ways. And the more you meditate, the more you increase your capacity to be mindful, right? And the more mindful you are, the easier it is to meditate. So again, like if you do a lot of exercise and you become more physically fit, and the more physically fit you are, the easier it is to exercise. And so I think people get confused, like, is meditation and mindfulness, are they the same thing? They're not the same thing, but they are interrelated. And they have an influence on each other in the same way that, like, fitness and exercise do. And you can practice being mindful, which would be just the practice of, no matter what you're doing, come in and pay attention without judgment. And that's really, really crucial, the without judgment part. So you're, you know, making your bed, and instead of making your bed and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to change the sheets tomorrow, I don't know if I have laundry detergent, you just make your bed. You make your bed and you say, I'm full, you know, I'm pulling the covers up, I'm fluffing the pillow. You just make your bed. We rarely do anything in life just focused on what we're doing. It's go through, and this again is a source of anxiety for us, is we go through our life doing what we're doing, and then there's this running commentary in the background that a lot of us have tuned out, so we're not even, we don't even hear it, but it's like the complaining and the judging and the blaming and, you know, criticizing, evaluating, assessing. It's so, it's like everything we do. I can give you an example. Yesterday, I had my physical last week, and I got a call in the morning. They said the lab lost your blood sample. I mean, crazy. It's never happened to me before. And my initial reaction was kind of like, huh? like, what? And they're like, so we need you to come back today and have your blood redrawn. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had this initial reaction, which is, I think, very natural, like, what? How'd you lose my blood? Blah, blah, blah. You know, you want me to come today? How am I going to fit that in? I wasn't planning on it. Just all this commentary. And the benefit for me of a regular meditation practice is that I was just like, okay, here I am right now in this moment. This is what's happening. They lost my blood and they need me to come in again. We don't have to make such a big deal out of everything. Does this make sense to you? Like, that's the part that's so hard in life is just, there's just always this, you know, overlay of everything. And that's what, you know, when you're mindful, that was a moment for me of mindfulness. I was like, in that moment, I realized that being asked to do something, I'm having thoughts about it, and those thoughts aren't really helpful. I mean, they're not making me feel any better. And the reality is I can just accept that this has happened and I'll figure out how to do it. And then I'm a more pleasant person. And, you know, I feel better about myself. And so it's sort of like this, it's a big mindset shift, but I think it's really important. And you can make that kind of a mindset shift by focusing on mindfulness activities. You don't have to meditate, but again, you know, you can do things to be more physically fit, whether or not you exercise, you know what I mean? You could go hiking and things like that. So there's a relationship between the two, and both practices are both bring about a whole new level of kind of peace and acceptance in your life.
That's important, isn't it? It's all part of it. And the bottom line is the healing that happens. You know, I can't believe that we're just about wrapped for this episode. It's this went by really fast, and I have so many more thoughts and questions. Real quickly, maybe in 60 seconds, you do this work via Zoom as well, right?
I do. I do this work via Zoom, and I'm actually starting a new program in April on Tuesdays. I think it's April 11th. It will start again. So registration is about to open for that. And then at any given time, if someone can't enroll in a program I'm offering, you can get on the wait list and be the first to hear about future programs. That's really my focus right now. I've kind of like, I've really, really pivoting away from doing individual therapy, and I'm working on trying to spend more of my time doing the group work. So you can go to my website and you can read more about the group. You can send me, you know, a message via my website, and just get a lot more there.
And the website is drelizabethcronin.com, and that's D-R, and then Elizabeth, and then Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N.com. A very special guest, Dr. Elizabeth Cronin, joining us here. Dr. Cronin, thank you very much for imparting this wit and wisdom for us here on this episode. Hope we get a chance to get together again and maybe explore deeper and some more, maybe even hear some success case studies, things of that nature, testimonials. That would be wonderful. But this was terrific, and thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. It was a pleasure.
Yes, my pleasure, too. Went by very quickly, and I would love to talk with you again. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is all ours. When you have a good conversation, sometimes it goes by in a New York minute. You look at the clock and you're like, wow, that was fast. But we encourage folks to go to the website, drelizabethcronin.com, and that's DR for doctor, and then elizabethcronin.com. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. More great episodes and guests coming up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.